Want to improve your leadership skills, achieve your business goals, or grow your ministry? Marketplace Ministry Coaching can help. I have helped countless kingdom-minded entrepreneurs and ministry professionals to unlock their full potential and achieve their goals. Sign up for coaching now and take the first step towards success. Visit MarketplaceMinistryPodcast.com/coaching to learn more. You're listening to Marketplace Ministry, a podcast for kingdom-minded entrepreneurs that examines business through a biblical lens. Your business is a calling, and when done well, brings glory and honor to God. Let's get into the show. Welcome back to Marketplace Ministry. My name is Jason Smith, and on this episode, I want to follow up with what we dealt with on the last episode of Marketplace Ministry. On the podcast, if you listened 2 weeks ago, I shared with you my first coaching experience with Cliff Ravenscraft. If you missed that episode, head back into the archives and listen to it before you listen to this episode, because it leads up to everything that we're discussing in today's episode. What happened in the last episode is that Cliff helped me to see that I was not unemployed. If you've already listened to that episode, you know that I was walking around for almost a year and a half making a declaration over myself that I was unemployed. And Cliff helped me to realize that that was a disempowering belief. It was an identity that I adopted that prevented me from moving forward with everything that God intended for me to do. What he helped me to see is that regardless of not having full-time employment, I was and I am still full-time self-employed. He helped me to see that I had been full-time self-employed testing various income streams in the food delivery services sector and in the audiovisual services sector. I failed to see that. I didn't quantify that as a meaningful line of work because I wasn't bringing in a lot of money at the time. Now, I will tell you this, that because of my coaching experiences with Cliff, my income last year went from as low as $400 a month all the way up to over $2,000, close to $3,000 a month. That is over a 500% increase in personal income that I didn't have when I started on this coaching journey. Now, that might not seem like a big deal for a lot of you who are listening, but it's a big deal in my life. And it's a big deal for my family, because where we were when I was in that stuck mindset of being unemployed, we were barely bringing in enough money to make ends meet, and we were living in survival mode. And that made me very uncomfortable. It got to the point where I had to make a decision, that I had to say, enough is enough. I can't do this anymore. Something's got to change, and it's got to be me. And so I started putting myself out there. I started looking for employment. And during a time when everybody said that there were many jobs available, every place I applied to turned me away. And I started to doubt myself. I started thinking, why is it so hard to get a job, especially when everybody is in need of workers? What's the deal? What's going on here? Is it because I'm 40 years old all of a sudden that people don't want to hire me? I never had this problem getting hired when I was 16. I could walk into any place off the street and I would get hired in an instant. But here in the after the pandemic, where everybody was dire need of workers, all of my skills, all of my abilities, all of my qualifications that I brought with me from over 24 years in the workforce and 12 years as an entrepreneur was not allowing me to get my foot in the door anywhere. And that was a big deal for me. So I knew that I was called to be a coach. I knew I wanted to be a coach, especially after listening to the homework that Cliff gave me. He told me to listen to the Prosperous Coach audiobook, which I did, and I will have a link to that in the show notes if you want to go check that book out for yourself. It's by Rich Litvin and Steve Chandler, and that book alone fired me up. It got me so excited about coaching that I was ready to start coaching by the time this second coaching call came around. I also listened to Cliff's Upgrade Your Peer Group podcast, which is all about the power of the mastermind group and developing your own paid mastermind group. And it was a transformative experience for me because I got to hear Cliff's story about how he went from being in insurance to becoming full-time self-employed with podcasting and then moving into the coaching space and the struggles that he went through. And it just really connected with me on a visceral level where I was like, he knows what I'm going through. He was just like me at one point, and I want to learn what he did so I can be successful in my life. If God can do it for Cliff, he can do it for me. As a matter of fact, if he can do it for me, he can do it for you too as you're listening to this podcast today. And so upon completing my homework, I decided that I wanted to be a coach of kingdom-minded entrepreneurs and to launch the Kingdom-Minded Entrepreneur Mastermind Group. This episode picks up with Cliff asking me if I ever coached anyone and ends up with him giving me advice about choosing to intentionally and consciously coach from now on. So strap in. I think you're going to enjoy this conversation that took place on March the 10th, 2022.
So I'm going to ask you now, have you ever coached anyone?
Officially, in any official capacity, no, I've never coached anyone.
What does that mean, officially, in any official capacity?
I'd say I have never coached anybody and been paid for it.
That's not what I asked.
That's not what you asked.
All right, no. So my question, I'll ask again. Have you ever coached anyone before?
Yes, I've coached my kids. I coach my wife on ideas that she has for business. I coach other people when they ask me for...
So give me more. I have wife. I understand wife. I understand kids. But other people could be anything. So I want to hear specific some of the other people. Break down other people for me.
Okay. So just this last week, based on what I listened to in your podcast and the book, I decided to reach out to people and just talk to them, build a relationship like you did with me. And there's a lady in my church. She is wanting to start a business in Radcliffe. It's going to be a dance hall, and she wants it to be a place where people can come. They can have exercise lessons. They can even just come and just dance. And she's calling it Just Dance Radcliffe. It's a place where they can have an outlet to express themselves. And she wants it to be a safe place because for her, she's coming out of a place where she used to be dependent upon alcohol. And now because of her sobriety, because she's a Christian, she wants it to be a Christian, the atmosphere that's a safe place for people to come. And the way she's told me specifically, she said, it's going to be a club atmosphere without the club drama. And that's her vision. And the way that I lean is towards marketing. People come to me and ask me questions about marketing. And so her big question was, how do I market this online? How do I make a website? How do I do this? And the first thing I asked her was a series of questions just to draw out of her what her full vision is. So what's the meaning behind this? What's your why? And then we got that down on paper. I said, what's your mission? Why are you doing this? And she gave me her mission. I said, okay, great. So we got our meeting. We got our mission. What's your message? What are you trying to get out to the community? And she came up with this great one-liner. I was like, this is perfect. We might be able to refine it a little bit more, but her message hinges upon the idea of finding freedom to be who you are through dance. I'm like, that's it. Now here's your assignment. I want you to take that message, that short statement, and I want you to craft your entire message. And then once you do that, we'll meet again. And if we need to refine it, clarify it at any stage, we'll do that so that we can get your marketing message the way it needs to be.
Okay.
And she,
I want to hear the "and she" part.
Okay. And so she said, absolutely. She appreciated it. She said, thank you so much. And she went home the next night at church. She said, I've got my message. I didn't write it down, but I did it in video format and I'll send it to you soon. So she took action immediately. And so I'm super excited that I had that opportunity to do that with her.
Okay. So prior to working with you in that session, she had very little clarity about her overall message. She had no clarity about what next steps to become clear about that message.
Yes.
But she had an idea of what she wanted to do. She just didn't know what's the next step, you know? And she thought, well, I know what I want to do. Just how do I market this thing? You know, I need some tips to just get the word out. But she actually recognized after talking to you, well, you need a little bit more before you go start getting the word out, right?
Yes.
Did she recognize that, oh my gosh, I am so glad I spoke to you before going out and marketing this thing?
Oh, absolutely. Because she's already got ideas about, I need a business card. I need my website. I need a flyer. And I told her, I said, how can you have a flyer if you don't have your message?
How long did you speak to her?
An hour.
All right. And during that hour, what did you do?
I asked her questions. I listened to what she said. I took notes. And then when I was finished taking the notes, I recited back to her what she had said to me. And then that's when the light bulb went off.
And what do we call that? All of those things are called?
Communication coaching.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right. So that's awesome. But that happened after you had a conversation with me.
Right.
Have you ever had any coaching experience prior to our conversation last week?
I'm trying to recall if there is a time before then. I know I've coached my kids on things, but you said not them. You're talking about other people.
Hold on. I didn't say not them. I say I understand coaching your kids.
Okay.
I understand coaching your wife. But outside of them.
Outside of them.
And now, prior to our previous conversation where coaching is in your mind.
I helped another business owner in our church.
How long ago?
This was about 2 years ago.
That's wonderful. Tell me about it.
Yeah. And I think I told you a little bit about it last time. She runs an ice cream parlor in Radcliffe, and she needed some help with, she thought she was going to close her business, but meanwhile, she's getting coaching from our pastor, and she came to me to help her with a advertising campaign. And so she gave me what she was doing, and I helped clarify the message for her, and we created an ad campaign, and I guided her through that. And when we did that, what happened? She did that, and she ended up having the biggest sales day of the season. And this was in October. Nobody buys ice cream when it's starting to get cold, but she did, and it was the biggest sales day for her. I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but it was the biggest that she had had. And this was, I think, in 2020, right in the, or maybe 2019, right before the pandemic. And so she was up in the air about, am I going to have to close the shop? But then everything that she got from me and from my pastor, she was able to flourish. And now she's moving to a new location. She's running for Radcliffe City Council. So, and she's still using me to help her with her marketing message for her political campaign. So it's really cool how that works as well.
So you've been coaching her on her messaging for whatever it is she wants to do in this and create in this world for the past 2 years.
Yes. Yes.
I want you to say what I just said.
I have been coaching her for whatever she wants to do, getting her message clear for the last 2 years.
All right. So the reason why I'm emphasizing all of this is because just a little bit ago, you said, I listened to the mastermind group and I want to create a paid mastermind group. And then I started reading The Prosperous Coach and I started in bits, but then I couldn't put it down because now I realize I want to become a coach.
Yes.
And I'm just not buying that statement.
Okay.
Because you can't want to be something that you already are.
Gotcha.
So what am I saying?
I am a coach.
Yes. You'd like to be paid for it, but that would be nice. But you already are a coach. That if there's nothing else you get out of this conversation today, I am a coach. Now, when I say that on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you believe that?
7.
All right. Tell me what's the gap from 7 to 10? What doubts are in your mind?
Nobody knows who I am.
That's bullet. I call baloney on that.
Okay. You're right. People know who I am because they come to me all the time at church.
As people do when they find a coach in their midst.
Okay.
All right. What else is there?
I don't have any credentials of being a coach.
All right. Let me ask you this. Do you think that I'm a coach?
I do.
All right. Do you think I get paid well to be a coach?
I think you do.
All right. How much do I get paid? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea.
What if I told, would you believe me if I told you that I average between $20,000 to $30,000 a month every single month, consistently, sometimes having $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 months, and I only work Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I have every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday off, and that has been my lifestyle since October 2019. Would you believe all of that?
I would believe that.
Now tell me, guess off the top of your head, how many credentials I have? How many certifications I have?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I'm not asking you if you know, so I'm going to ask you to guess.
I'm gonna guess zero.
Yes, spot on.
Yeah,
I have zero. I am not certified for anything. I have no degree from any university. None.
Yeah, you're good at what you do.
Oh, no, I'm not. I am freaking extraordinary at what I do.
Amen. Yes,
I can tell you right now, people with PhDs don't have, they couldn't keep up with what I do.
Amen.
There are people with 15 certifications and you know, they have a bachelor's and A's, and they've got all this other stuff, and half of those people could never do what I do through my coaching, because I'm uniquely gifted to do what I was put on this earth to do. I don't need the rubber stamp of approval from any man to tell me I'm qualified to do it.
Amen. That's good.
Now, I want you to know I'm incredibly educated. So what I mean by that is I'm educated by the School of Hard Knocks. Let me ask you this. Have you ever made any mistakes before in your past?
Yes, sir.
Have some of those mistakes been incredibly painful, physically, mentally, emotionally?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. I promise you this, you learn more from that, potentially, hopefully, than you'll ever get from any degree from any university. All right. So that's first and foremost. But then, no doubt in my mind, you as well as myself have had some schooling, whether it's, you know, our traditional public schooling or whatever schooling. Maybe you did some college. I did a couple of years of college before I dropped and stuff like that. But my education also includes listening to podcasts, listening to audiobooks, reading books, going to conferences, being in conversations with other people who are professionals or experts in their areas and learning from their stories, listening to them telling me things. I'm learning things. I watch television shows. I watch movies. There's all kinds of stories that are being told in there, and I learn from everything. Every experience I walk outside and I learn about who God is every day by just noticing something new in this world, in this creation. I'm an incredibly educated person. Now, I will tell you this. It's not a requirement, Jason. But I personally do study between no less than 1 to 3 hours a day. And I oftentimes study 3 to 5 hours a day. Now, I'm not studying courses, although I am currently studying a course. I just bought a course on Udemy for $20 to teach me how to draw. So
I've seen your drawings. They're very, very awesome.
Thank you. So
well done.
Thank you. And it's just little things like that. I'm always picking up new things. I'm always studying. I'm always learning. But most of the stuff, I'm reading a book right now called The Map of Consciousness. Just a little weird thing about, our emotional states and where we are on the path of being one with God. So I just love reading. I love learning. And because of that, every day I learn something new, which I learn something new every day of my life, I become more valuable to the people that I talk to. Mm-hmm. And that's true for you as well, isn't it?
Yes, yes, yes it is.
All right. So I am a coach. Nobody,
I am a coach.
Nobody knows who I am. We know that's baloney. Now, the thing that keeps me from feeling a 10 out of 10, I am a coach, I have no credentials, is that or is that not baloney also?
Yes, it is. Yes.
All right. So let's just check in. A few minutes ago, I asked you to say, I am a coach. Go ahead and say it again. I am a coach.
I am a coach.
And I asked you just a few minutes ago, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you absolutely know that to be true? And you said about 7 out of 10. And I want authentic right now. Just check in. You're not going to win a prize. You're not going to impress me or let me down in any way. Just check in right now. Think about it for a second. Take a breath and tell me, on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you right now? I am a coach.
10.
That's all I need. I am a coach. I have been a coach all along.
Amen.
It's the coach in me that wanted to start courses. It's the coach in me that wanted to build marketplace ministry. It's the coach in me that has caused me to go out and learn marketing so that I can help others with their marketing. It's the coach in me that wants to help people clarify their message, get more clear about who they are, the value they bring to others, the way, the why behind their purpose in this world. Why? Let's get all of this square so that you have everything and you're fully equipped to do something once you have people.
Yes.
Only coaches do that, Jason.
Yes.
Do you know what people who are coaches don't do? Or people who are not coaches, do you know what they do? Somebody comes to them for marketing and they say, great, yeah, here's my package. Go ahead and sign up and I'm going to go and create some ads for you. Let me just ask you, when do you want to, what, how much percentage and what's your product and this and that? And they don't focus on the person. They don't focus on the message. They don't focus on the why. They give me money and in exchange, I give you this. That's what people do when they're not a coach.
Yeah.
But a coach is somebody who says, I want to know more. Let's help you get more clarity, some more purpose, some more leverage behind what you're doing.
Amen.
So
that's exactly who I am. I've got to the place where I don't want to be the person that they come to do something for them. I want to teach them how to do it. I want to empower them to be able to take control of what they're working on so they can be successful. That's what I want to do. That's who I am.
Yep. And successful doing what?
Growing their business, growing themselves, making an impact in the community.
That's a coach answer right there. Only a coach would say those things.
Amen.
You feeling it, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Yes.
So what's this coach out there doing driving Ubers and DoorDashes?
Wasting my time. Trading time for dollars.
So I just want to share something with you. I'm gonna float. You may have heard this before. I heard it many times before I adopted it as absolute truth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always at the right place doing the right thing. Or I'm sorry. I'm always at the right place at the right time doing the right thing with the right people.
Mm.
Nothing is wasted. Nothing is accident. And I don't think for a minute that you have wasted your time driving for DoorDash and Uber. No, there is no such thing as wasted time. All time is invested. It's just that you may have been doing some things that now, in hindsight, you recognize, wow, all while I was doing that, I could have invested that time in something that has a higher return on investment financially.
Yes.
But wow, I'm not going to beat myself up about what I just what I've done over the last 2 years or whatever. Instead, what I am going to do is I am going to say, is there any lessons that I can learn from this? Are there stories that I can tell about my experiences with this? And the answer to that question is always going to be yes. And so, therefore, if you got that, you got more than what you got paid financially. You got life lessons. Life lessons from all experiences, whether we perceive them as good or bad. There is, by the way, I'm going to float another belief that Cliff Ravenscraft has that you can either accept or reject or whatever, or you can noodle on for a while. But I don't believe there's anything, any such thing as good experience or a bad experience in life. There is no such thing as a good experience or a bad experience in life. There are only experiences in life. And what we label as good or bad is nothing more than a perception. It's how we're perceiving it. So, for example, there was a time in January 2009, I was in the hospital, almost died, and as a it was a result of my lack of physical activity. I weighed almost 300 pounds. I had gallstones. I mean, it was terrible. I literally almost died in the hospital. It was a pretty painful experience of my life and stuff like that. And I would say, man, this is bad. You know, this is a bad experience. I wouldn't wish this on anyone. However, in hindsight, gosh, I'm glad that I almost died in the hospital, because if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be the physically fit person that I am today. And since then, and don't get me wrong, it wasn't smooth sailing after I got out of the hospital. It wasn't like Cliff Ravenscraft got out of the hospital and became the fitness answer man. No, I got out of the hospital and over the next 9 months dropped 72 pounds and then gained it all back and then some. And then over the next 3 to 4 or 5 years, I had bunches of, you know, dropping 30 pounds and gaining it back, 20 pounds, gaining it back, blah, blah, blah. And finally getting so frustrated, I just gave up on it. Until finally a couple people sent by God, divinely, I didn't know it at the time, but divinely, God sent me some people, says, Cliff, I'd really like to help you with this. I'm like, I'd really like to just have you leave me alone about this. And then it just got clear one day. In fact, it was November 14th, 2014. I said, I'm going to work out 6 days a week, every week for the rest of my life. I'm going to eat healthy, whole natural foods. And since then, that was about, well, the 2014, that's 7 years ago. It'll be 7 years. Actually, it's been 7 years. So 7 years ago, over the last 7 years, I've lost over 100 pounds and kept it off. And I still work out every day and eat healthy. I wouldn't be who I am, by the way. And along the way, I've helped inspire a few thousand other people to also begin their fitness journey. So you tell me, was that a bad experience that I had in the hospital? Or in hindsight, is it a good experience? Or is it neither? It just is what it is. And it's up to me. I can actually perceive it however I choose. I can choose to perceive it and come up with all sorts of negative meanings. And I can choose to feel negatively about it. And I can experience negative things as a result of my negative perception. Or I can choose to see it for what it is and say, you know what? I'm going to learn from this. I'm going to grow from this. And as a result of that, that allowed me to be open to a different way of perceiving the world and what I'm capable of and what I can do. And it opened me up to a greater relationship with God as a result. And people, and I'm a more inspirational person. It's like, wow, that's an incredible, it's up to me. But the thing is the fact that I was in the hospital isn't in and itself good or bad. It's up to me to discern it. It's a perception.
Amen.
So that's the same with you and everything you've experienced over all of the years of your life, but certainly what you've experienced, you've been full-time self-employed since June of 2020. Is that correct?
May of
2020. See, that right there is a perception. You know what else is a perception? I've been unemployed since May of 2020.
Right.
Neither of these are, it's how you define it. You get to choose it.
Yes.
One has a more empowering outcome than the other. And this is true of everything we perceive in life.
That is so good. That is good.
So, I heard just a little while ago, I want to become a coach. Do you want to become a coach?
I am a coach.
There you go. We can move on. I'm going to ask you a quick trick question. How long have you been a coach?
I've been a coach since October 2019.
Baloney. Remember, you gave me permission to call you on your bull,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Oh, goodness.
I've been a coach since I was in the Army.
Baloney.
No.
But I, by the way, you have been a coach since you've been in the Army, but it didn't start there. I bet you if we just go back to school, did you ever have, did you graduate from school? College?
Yes.
High school? Okay.
High school and college.
Okay. So let's just go back to high school, junior high / middle school, elementary school. Any of these options. That's where I'm looking at.
Okay.
In all of those years, did you ever have somebody that you went to school come to you and ask you for advice on anything?
Yes.
Earliest memory, what grade approximately? You don't have to be accurate, just approximate.
I think the earliest I can recall is junior high, so 7th, 8th grade. But it really was more, I have more memories in high school of friends that I would talk to on the phone. They'd tell me like issues they were having, and then I would give them my thoughts on what they could do. And so,
well, that sounds something like a coach would. That sounds like you were doing what we call that, telemedicine. You were the phone in therapist of your high school.
Yes.
You were coaching in high school over the telephone. People would call me up, tell me the issues that they're experiencing. I'd listen, you know, and I would encourage them. I'd help empower them, ask them some questions to see if I can't get them, and then maybe give them a little bit of advice. And I would just equip them and empower them to go forward and do the thing that they most wanted to do. And when they're like, wow, I'm glad I called Jason. Sounds like a coach.
Yes, absolutely. So I've been a coach since at least junior high school.
At least. Yeah. How's that feel?
I feel empowered right now.
Yeah. So I love that you have naturally already began to officially coach people, like from a conscious level. So all of this other coaching that we're talking about, you know, before our last conversation, all of that, you were coaching what we call unconsciously. You were not consciously aware that you are a coach. You were a coach. You just weren't consciously aware of it.
Gotcha. That makes perfect sense.
Yep.
And that's a better word than saying in no official capacity.
Oh, there is no such thing as an official capacity.
Right.
A coach is a coach.
Yes. Unaware, but now I'm aware. That's good.
Yeah. And the fact what I've been doing coaching for, well, ever since I was a kid as well. And as I've been in the past several years coaching a lot of people who are coaches or quote unquote want to be a coach, I have found that most anyone and everyone, when they finally discover what their true purpose is, what their true calling is, what they feel most called to do in this world, anybody who really genuinely finds that out, it's not something that's a new revelation to them. It's something that has actually been there since they were kids. And I believe it's because that's whatever it is. And not everybody's a coach, right? So not everybody's a coach. I can't sit here and have this empowering conversation with everyone I talk to, because some people are just not coaches. I mean, I've talked to people. It's like, listen, Cliff, I want to have a profitable business, and I think I want to actually do a paid mastermind group and be a coach. The only thing is, I really hate people. They annoy me.
Right.
And you're not going to sit here and try to. You would not sit. It's like you've been a coach your entire life. Blah blah blah. No. You are not a coach. You'd be a great accountant or a widget maker, or start a factory, go do something that you don't have to coach people, because coaching people is just not going to be your thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I find is that, you know, it's like these things have been a part. And I bet you if I gave you the assignment, I don't necessarily feel called to do so, but I bet you could dig in, because inside of your subconscious memory is the actual memory of everything you've ever experienced in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to suggest to you what's going to happen over the next coming weeks and months. There'll be times you'll be laying in bed, ready to go to sleep, and all of a sudden your mind will just start flashing. Things will come to your memory, things you haven't actually remembered since they happened when you were in third grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, summer vacation, you know, this and there. Just all of the different, you're going to have flashes of memories of all these places you've been coaching your whole life. And every time that happens to you, you're going to be more and more empowered to realize not just the education that you have for all the things that you do and the things you're going to continue to educate yourself mm-hmm. on, but your experience in coaching, your experience, how many, I would venture to say that you've coached hundreds of people over the years, and all of those conversations that you've had, the responses and learning about how people respond to the questions you ask, learning about how people respond to the advice that you give, that is experience as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you had such an incredible impact with this woman that you just talked about this past week.
Amen.
It's because you're not new to coaching.
Amen.
It's something that, so are you familiar with back in Exodus when God told them to build the temple?
Yes. Yes.
And then all of a sudden he's like, listen, God's like, I'm going to bring men to you, go these people, and I'm going to give them all the gift and the skills that they need to be able to do this. So these are people who have never been trained in carpentry, never been trained in architecture, never been trained in this, never been trained in metallurgy, and never been and all right. of a sudden, just boom, they all now know everything they need to know to accomplish this thing God's called them to build. You're familiar with this story?
Yes, yes.
All of that and everything you've ever needed to know about coaching is already yours. You've been using it your entire life. And as you continue to go forward now in this awareness, you're going to see how much you already know, but new skills are going to come to you like... And it doesn't have to. I'm not promoting that you not go get certified. If that's what you want to do, by all means, do it. Just know that's not required. That if anything, that's just a mindset issue.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
I can tell you right now, I coach people all of the time in complimentary sessions. I then make a proposal. Hey, you know, remember I told you this was complimentary? I'd just like to ask you a question. Would you like to have a conversation right now? What it would look like for you and I to have an ongoing paid coaching relationship? Do you know how many people have stopped me right there and says, well, before we do, Cliff, can I ask you, what qualifies you to be a coach? What certifications do you have? What degrees do you have? How many years have you been paid to be a coach? How many of those people that I propose to you do you think have ever asked me any one of those types of questions?
None.
Not one. You know why they don't ask those questions?
I don't. I would have to guess that it's because you've proven yourself over the years.
Well, no, because I'm talking to people who have never heard my name 3 weeks ago, and I invited them into a coaching session. I coached them for 90 minutes. It's the first time they've ever really talked to me ever.
Mm.
And then at the end of that call, they tell me what their insight is. They say, I'm going to go do a couple of things. We schedule a second call. I coach them for 90 minutes. And like I said, they have no idea what I've done. Some of them don't even know the success I've had in my business. They don't know how big my audience. They don't know all of that stuff that you're privy to.
Right.
But yet
right.
they still don't ask me at the end of the second call. Why do you think that is?
I don't know.
Because they just had a total of 3 hours.
Yes.
Having an experience of who I am as a coach.
Amen.
They're not questioning where it's coming from, what certifications, what qualifications, what experiences, what education, how I learned how to be, to do what I just did during these two 90-minute sessions. All they know is they want more of it.
Yeah.
Or they don't. Either way. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I completely understand because I felt the same way after the first coaching call, 90 minutes with you. I was like, man, I need to start this mastermind group so I can pay Cliff so that I could be able to have ongoing coaching. That's what I need to do. And that's where I want to get to. So I totally get that. Totally get it.
All right. So with all of that, what questions do you have for me?
How do I start this mastermind group? There needs to be an application process. So I heard you talk about that. I've started to work on an application form. So I've got that going. I'm going to need to reach out to people to find out who's interested in it. And I'm going to need to market it.
Well, let me go back to this. So first of all, you need to know who your target audience for the group is.
Kingdom business entrepreneurs.
All right. Kingdom.
Or kingdom-minded entrepreneurs. That's the way I have it written.
All right. Kingdom-minded entrepreneurs. That's great. So you already know, these are people who own a business and they're kingdom-minded. Boom.
Yes.
There's lots of those people out there. All right.
Yes.
Now, the next thing that you need to do, what was the next thing you say you need to do?
So I need to create the application form.
Okay.
I also.
So I'm going to, let me just write this down. Need application. Okay. Next.
I'm going to need a landing page or a sales page.
Sales page. Okay. What else?
I'll need to get the word out. So marketing.
Okay. And what, give me an idea of some marketing things that you need to do.
I can reach out to people I've been in relationship with already who have businesses that are kingdom minded businesses, network with them, gauge their interest. If it's something they want to do, they don't have to do it, but if they want to do it, it's available to them. It's funny. I help people with social media but listening to the book, it's like, don't do that. And I thought that was interesting. It challenges me because I'm used to doing that. So I don't want to have to lean on social media for marketing. I'd rather find people and have them refer people to me. And maybe I will use Marketplace Ministry, the podcast, as a platform to get the word out.
Okay. Would you be interested in some feedback on your plans?
Yes.
You don't need an application.
Okay.
You don't need a sales page.
Okay.
And we all need marketing. So marketing. Mm-hmm. But I would recommend potentially a different approach to marketing.
Okay.
Certainly not to say, this is what I have. Is anybody interested?
Okay.
All right. That's the traditional marketing route. I'm not. Now, by the way, I'm saying you don't need an application. You don't need a sales page, and you don't need that traditional marketing approach.
Okay.
None of those are needed. They will all work, by the way. They're all good tools to have. It'd be nice if I had a sales page so that if somebody came across my website and they saw that I have this offering and they read my sales page and it's very convincing and then they click to complete an application, that would be nice to have. It's not going to be how most people find you. It's not going to be how most people come to your next level or your particular paid mastermind group. Your kingdom-minded entrepreneur mastermind.
Yes.
You could focus on that, but what I'd love to do is give you a way that's going to absolutely, hands down, land you paid mastermind group member clients faster.
Okay.
All right? Step number one, connect. Step number two, invite. Step number three, create. Step number four, propose. Now you read the book. You heard those four steps in the book, right?
Yes.
Before we go any further, I just want to make an important announcement. I have a sales page. I have an application. I use social media, and I use my podcast, and I use my email newsletter. I have a sales funnel, all of those things. And they do net me new clients, hands down. But nothing like what I'm about ready to share with you. All right. Step number one, connect. What does it mean? Tell me from your own, you've read the book, what is connecting?
So this week, I was intentional about reaching out to people that I've had as guests on my podcast this week, just with a simple question: how can I encourage you or support you in your business today? And I had people get back to me and tell me what they needed or what they would like me to do. And I've done it for them. One lady, she just released a devotional book and she said, I'm trying to get this out to more people. I said, sure, I'll put it on my social media for you and I'll announce it to everybody. And so I did, and she loved it. And then this other person, the only encouragement they needed is they're selling a house and they're believing for the right buyer. So I typed a prayer message back to her and said, I call it done, what you're believing for in Jesus' name. And then the other person I'm scheduling a call to talk with because she has a membership site that she wants to promote. And I'm like, that's great. Tell me more about it so I know how to get that word out for you. And so I'm not thinking about me. I'm thinking about how I can serve other people. What are you dealing with right now and how can I help?
That is connecting. That is connecting. Awesome. Keep doing that. By the way, feel free to use social media. Forget what that book says about that. You know what? Because guess what social media, what it means is using social media as, let me use it as a marketing tool to you know, broadcast my click here for this, click here for that, and blah, blah, blah. That's what he's talking about there. But when we look at social media, how did you and I get connected?
Social media.
Exactly. And what did I do? It's like, is there any way I could support and encourage you?
Right.
hey, what's going on here? We have a little bit of a conversation, a little bit of back and forth. And what I'm doing is when I'm engaging, I always initiate conversation. Hey, let's just say there's somebody I haven't met before. I'll just show you just how easy this is. So I'm going to go to my Instagram story, and I'm going, and there's a lot of thing. There's a lot of stories here, or a lot of posts in my story. I go to the last one, and I click on I pull up, and this shows me all the people who have watched this story. All right. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look through here, and I'm going to see if there's any names. Oh, well, here's Chris Bakke. Chris Bakke. All right. This is a guy who was a part of my podcast mastermind years ago. I haven't heard or seen his name in years. Watch this. I'm clicking. Notice that it says follow back because I'm not following him. Boom. I sent him a requested thing. Now, is there a way that so I'm not connected to him on Instagram yet. I have to wait till he approves that. But let me see if I can go over to Facebook. All right. So maybe we're friends on Facebook. Chris Bakke. All right. Oh, we're friends on Facebook. Of course we are. So message. Now I'm opening up Messenger. Check this out. Chris Bakke. Oh my gosh. I can't believe it's been so long since you and I have last chatted. You know, I was just looking at my Instagram and I wanted to check in and see who's been viewing my stories, and your name popped up. I can't believe we're not connected on Instagram. Anyway, I sent you an Instagram request. Hey, brother, I just need to ask you a question. What's going on in your world? It's been way too long since we connected. Is there any way I can support or encourage you? Tell me what's going on. I can't wait to hear from you. I just connected. Now tell me, how many people could I do this to?
Whoever you wanted.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, ideally, I'm looking for when I do this connecting for the. By the way, I do a lot of connecting that I just like. God, is there somebody that you just want me to connect with, even if I don't feel like it's going to lead me to any profitable business whatsoever? And if there is, nudge my heart, let me know to reach out to this person. You know, I may not invite them into a 90-minute call unless he continues to nudge. And if he does, that's fine. Like I said, I don't have any expectation or obligation for people to become a paid client if I serve them through a 90-minute session. But anyway, so I do what it is. But if I'm specifically trying to fill my mastermind group, I wouldn't have done that for Chris Bakke. In your shoes, unless I had a pretty good idea that he might be a kingdom-minded entrepreneur. Now, if I know that he's not, absolutely not, I wouldn't have done that. If I'm using the Prosperous Coach method, if I might connect with him otherwise, but you get what I'm saying, right? The distinction
here. Yes.
If I'm being intentional about filling my mastermind group, I would only do this to somebody that I'm not that I'm trying to figure out, is this person my thing, you know, my target audience. So did I ask him, hey, Chris, do you own your own business today? I didn't ask him that.
Right.
I didn't. Are you a kingdom minded entrepreneur? You know, what's your faith background? You know, I'm not asking.
Right.
You know, the thing is, all I'm looking for in connecting is to open the conversation. I've just initiated a new conversation with Chris Bakke. All right.
Amen.
Haven't talked to him in probably 7 years, 8 years, maybe. Yeah, it's been 8 years. So chances are Chris Bakke will be a paid member of my Next Level Mastermind within the next 2 months, 6 to 8 weeks. I can just tell you right now, that's very likely. I'd say about a 90% chance. Now, how is that all going to happen? Well, Chris Bakke is going to come back and say, oh my gosh, Cliff, I'm so glad you reached out. I was watching your story. Dude, I'm so thrilled that you're like, just the stuff that you're doing. I love watching your stories. It's like, hey, Chris, thanks, man. And he might say, well, you know what? I've been doing my voiceover work for the last couple of years, and that's going pretty well, and I've ventured out to some other things. I'm like, awesome. That's incredible. Hey, I just checked out your website. It looks awesome. You know, let me ask you, what right now, what's the biggest thing that is generating the most revenue for you? And he'll tell me what it is and stuff like that and things. And like, man, that's incredibly awesome. How are the other areas of your life? And so I might ask some things and stuff like that. And this conversation could happen over the course of 20 minutes if we're going back and forth live. It could happen over the course of 20 days. It could happen over the course of 20 months. It just depends. But I found that typically it takes me approximately 3 to 7 questions before I get enough that says, yes, this person is a good fit for my mastermind group. When I get enough detail about that and my questions have exposed something that's coachable, meaning that I would love, they would, it's like, wow, they've expressed something that they're facing, that some challenge, some obstacle, or some lack of discernment, some uneasiness, or something. Once they've shared something in the conversation and I've discerned they're a good fit for my mastermind group, I don't then bring up my mastermind group. I invite them into a complimentary one-on-one. You could do 1 hour, but I do 90 minutes one-on-one session with me, completely devoted to doing only one thing. Do you know what that one thing is?
Coaching.
It's actually even more than coaching. I'm going to pull it. I'm going to show you from the book. I want you to look at the bottom blue section and tell me what does it say. Give it a second to, there we go.
Serve them so powerfully they never forget your conversation for the rest of their life.
That's the only thing I'm going for. Let me ask you this. Our conversation last week, will you ever forget that for the rest of your life?
No, I will not.
Our conversation today, will you ever forget this conversation for the rest of your life?
No, I will not.
I am not 1 second of last week's call or this week's call have I tried to impress you. Not one thing I've ever done or said or asked has been to convince you of my value.
Mm-hmm.
My only desire is to stay in tune with God and say, what does Jason need to hear next? What do I need to ask Jason so that he will also tap into your voice and hear with himself, I am a coach.
Amen.
I'm just, that's all, if you can imagine, all I'm doing, I'm going to invite Chris Baquet into a 90-minute coaching session as soon as there's enough dialogue to do that. Hey, man, it's been years. You know what? I'd love to work with you on this thing that you've got going on. I'll tell you what, I've got an open slot available. Here's a link. I'd love to give you a 90-minute session, complimentary, my gift to you, no expectation, no obligation, the whole deal. He'll come into that 90-minute experience. After the 90 minutes, he's going to that's connecting. Then you go to invite, the invitation. Mm-hmm. And then once you're in the first coaching, that first 90-minute session, that's the beginning of step 3. You're creating a client by giving them a full-blown experience of having you as a coach. So do you realize that I have coached you at the same level as clients who have paid me $60,000 for a year of coaching?
Yes.
And all of my clients, whether they pay me $5,000, $12,000, $25,000, $60,000, you know, nobody that's ever hired me gets any less of what I have to offer. Does this make sense?
Yes.
And this includes everyone in my complimentary sessions, whether that there's any inkling in my mind about the fact that this person could ever be a client. All in every experience of my coaching, I only have one goal, to create a conversation today that you'll never forget for the rest of your life. That's my only goal. Mm-hmm. That's creating. So at the end of the first call, by the way, there are some techniques here. All right. I don't know if I don't think these are in the book. If they are, you can tell me. You've listened to it much sooner than I have. I've read the book about 5 times, but it's been a while. But here's what I do at the end of the first call. I ask the question, what's the biggest insight that you've gotten out of our time together today? What's one, two, or three actions you think you ought to take over the next 2 weeks? That's what I typically ask. And I think you said, well, I think I'm going to read this book that you said and this. Or I may have actually just given you assignments. Sometimes I just give assignments. I find it's sometimes better, though, if I ask, what's your single greatest insight? And based upon that and what it is that you want to create in this world or what you want to achieve or what outcome you're going after, what do you already know inside of yourself are one, two, or three actions you should take over the next 2 weeks? Now, by the way, I usually do 2 weeks rather than 1 week like you and I have done. All right, so I usually do 2 weeks. And I don't always invite people back to a second call. And sometimes when I invite somebody to a second call, it's conditional.
Mm-hmm.
Yours was conditional because I didn't know you enough to know that you were going to take action on reading the book and listening to the podcast. So there, I did not feel it's like, okay, we had a great conversation. He seemed very empowered by our conversation. And the thing is I have that effect on people. So that's no indicator of whether or not you're an action taker. It's like he's got big ideas. He's got big dreams. I'm inspired by what he wants to create in this world. But I still, after just one conversation with Jason, I'm not going to instantly say, yeah, let's bring him into a 90-minute session 2 weeks from today.
Right.
So what I did is I said, read this and this, and if you have done this within this amount of time, reach out to me, and we'll schedule a second call. Now, if you never would have reached out to me, guess what I would have done?
I wouldn't have been invited.
I would have never reached out to you again because yeah. I don't. If I'm offering you a second experience of my coaching, if you will just do this, and you don't do this, and you don't reach out. Then it's clear that I'm not the right coach for you or you're not the right client for me. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's the whole process of some of this. Now, sometimes I get into a coach. It's like, okay, dude, this is exactly the client I want. But I will still – so I'll say, hey, so what are you going to do? Let's go ahead and book a call right now. 8 out of 10 times that I'm coaching someone, I actually schedule the second call before we hang up from the first call. All right.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
There are very few people. It's probably about maybe 1 out of every 20 calls that I do where I don't even invite them to a second call. There's enough that came out into this conversation that I know that I either don't want to work with this person over the next year or this isn't a good fit or what they're doing. I'm just not the right coach. There's something mm-hmm. about it that just I'm not going to do this. So at mm-hmm. the end of those calls, I'm like, hey, I just wanted to say thank you. I still ask them, what's the single greatest insight you've got? What's one, two, or three actions you're going to take over the next 2 weeks? And I'm saying, hey, man, I just want to remind you, this was my gift to you. There's no expectation. You're not going to ever receive an invoice for this. The only thing I ask is that, hey, assuming that you're going to take these actions, reach out to me at some point in the future, whether it's 2, 3, 4 weeks from now. Shoot me an email, send me a direct message, and just give me a very brief update. I want to celebrate the results that you get from it. And then,
amen.
And that's the end of the conversation. That's the end of that pursuit. That person's, I've used this process to weed. I could have maybe weeded that out and figured it out before inviting. And so sometimes mm-hmm. you'll invite people and it's like, oh, okay, now I'm going to ask some more clarifying questions. So you invite less people into that. So in the beginning stages, you'll get more people that you don't want to work with in that first call. And sometimes I get to the end of the second call and I don't propose because mm-hmm. it's something that happened between the two calls. And I very rarely, almost never propose at the end of the first call for anyone. There are some exceptions. People I've worked with in the past, people I know a lot about, people that quite frankly, it's just like this is just all a formality.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, though, let me tell you the power of asking, what is your greatest insight? Because I could tell you the greatest insights. Like, do you already, I already know what your greatest insight is today. Do you know what your greatest insight today is?
I'm a coach, and I've been a coach since I was in junior high, maybe even before that.
Exactly. Now, the thing is, I knew that. I wanted to see if you knew that. But the thing is I, as a coach, I've learned not to just assume this. So it's like, I am a coach. But I could actually get to the end of the call, and I could ask you the question, what's the single greatest insight? And you might say, you know, the single greatest insight to me is the power of suggestion. I've been reading books on clinical hypnosis and hypnotherapy, and I recognize that you very intentionally use, I want to make a suggestion to you, that sometimes when you lay down at night, you're going to start having these things pop up. And you know what? I began in my mind to actually envision myself having those experiences. Wow. The power of suggestion is an incredibly powerful thing. So my greatest insight is I want to use the power of suggestion in my coaching. And it's like, wow, I didn't even bring that up. I was just doing it.
Right.
So don't assume for them what their greatest insight is.
Gotcha.
All right. So then you ask them, based upon that insight, let them choose. What are the one, two, or three actions that you're going to take? Now, you may want to give them some assignments above and beyond that, or things like that. Or you may just by the way, this isn't cookie cutter. This is every person's right. Different. You do what you feel led to do from inside. So what the thing is one. Let's just assume this is somebody that, okay, I did all the connecting. I discerned that this is a kingdom minded entrepreneur. There was something they brought up in conversation that made a great entry way for me to invite them into a complimentary coaching experience with no expectation, no obligation. I coached them during this first call, and wow, it's been powerful. I've asked them this question. I've asked them what actions they're going to take over the next 2 weeks. Now. And I know that I want this person as a client. I still no expectation, but I want them. That means I'm now going to ask them. I'm going to invite them to a second complimentary coaching experience. All right. And so I would say, hey, you know what? At this point, I'm kind of really excited to see what happens for you. That's a pretty significant insight. I've had some experience with these actions that you're about ready to take. And rather than hear from you in an email update, I'd love to talk to you. I can't wait to see what happens here. Tell you what, I'd love to offer you a second 90-minute coaching experience 2 weeks from today. It's my gift to you. I'm not going to invoice you for it. And I mean this. There is no expectation or obligation you will ever become a paid client. Would you be interested in connecting again like this 2 weeks from today? Oh my gosh, yes, is what most people say. And we book it. Mm-hmm. Boom, done. I book it for them. All right. So now think about the psychology of this. Just knowing what you know about human beings, knowing what you know about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a conversation with this potential client and they get all excited because you bring that energy. They feel empowered and all this other stuff. They have their insight, and they have their two or three actions that they know they should do over the next 2 weeks. All right? If you never invited them back to a second session, what's the percentage chance that they're likely to carry through on all two or three actions within the next 2 weeks? Just the average person.
The average person... I think they get pumped about doing it, but then it is like the book was saying, there's a half-life for this stuff. So they're going to, it's just going to fade. They're not going to follow through.
Yeah. So what's the percentage likelihood that they're going to do all of those actions?
They might do the first one, but then the second one, they might get hung up. So I'm going to say probably it drops to 50%. And then after that, 25%.
Awesome. Now imagine Same person, same insight, same three actions, but now they have a second call scheduled with you 2 weeks later to discuss the results of those things. What's the percentage chance that you think that they're going to do it now?
100%.
And if they don't, and they have lots of excuses, and it's not something that's reasonable... You've just saved yourself from having a client that doesn't take action because you're not going to propose to that person. Do you see how this works?
Yes, absolutely.
It's helped you gain clarity about whether or not they're action takers, and it's helped them do something they would have never done had you not provided the leverage of showing up and reporting in your next coaching call. Do you see the power of, and this, by the way, we're still in the create phase. That is, that 2 weeks in between the two calls is still creating the client. See, the first one is they're pumped up and energized.
Right.
It's what happens, what do they do after the call? What do they do after the experience? That's where the real creation happens.
That's good.
This is why we don't propose before we've created the client. Does this make sense?
Yes, it does.
So now we get into the second call, and I say, how have things been? Oh, my gosh, I'm so pumped up. I know I need to create a mastermind group, and I want to become a coach, and blah, blah, blah. And this is really exciting, you know, which I don't know if any of that sounds familiar. And then we have a conversation about what you say.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
I was like, but Cliff, you're not walking me through a specified framework. No, I'm not walking you through a framework because I had no idea what you were going to say. You know, so I don't need a framework. I just need God. I need my experience. I need to know you. I need to know what your values are. And I need to just use everything that I have. And I have lots of things at my disposal because I've intentionally built more things at my disposal. And I just want to create an experience that you'll never forget for the rest of your life. And that will transform you. Amen. Not that I will transform you, but that you will transform yourself.
Okay, so I hope you really enjoyed this conversation. And it humbles me to be able to share this experience with you because I really was at the time in March 2022 completely in a disempowered state where I didn't know what I was going to do or what was going to happen next. I just was in survival mode, and I knew that something needed to change. And this is why you need a coach. You need a coach because a coach will challenge you. He will challenge your excuses. He will challenge your disempowering beliefs. And we all have excuses, and we all have disempowering beliefs. It's that we don't readily see them because we are constantly walking around speaking words over ourselves that are negative affirmations. Like I was. I was walking around saying, I'm unemployed. And because I did that, I was developing an identity of being an unemployed person. And that brought with it the behaviors, the thoughts, and attitudes of someone who's unemployed. And that's a very disempowering situation to be in. But I didn't realize that I was labeling myself as such. And as soon as Cliff pointed that out to me and helped me to change the confession of my mouth, did the transformation truly take place? You know, the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And Proverbs tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. That tells me that whatever words come out of my mouth have the power to transform the way I see things. A coach will open your eyes to who you really are, what you're truly capable of, and they will draw out the resources that you already possess. And that's exactly what Cliff did. He helped me to realize that I had been coaching for most of my entire life, and I didn't even realize it. From the earliest age, I can remember when I was in junior high school and I had some friends, and they would call me on the telephone, and I would sit on the phone with them for hours, and we would discuss various issues. Most of my friends in junior high and high school were girls, and I really struggled with that for a long time because I didn't understand, why do I have all of these female friends? At one point in my life, I had even asked the question, am I gay? But I couldn't be because I knew that I liked girls too much. So I had all of these female friends, and maybe it's a way that I treated them. I was a safe space for them. And that makes me wonder, you know, what is it about me that allows them to find me as a safe person? And I think it really goes back to, that's who I am. I'm someone who, I care about you. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to let you air your frustrations. And I'm going to listen. And that's what I did for my friend when I was in junior high school. And she would share with me all the issues that were going on in her relationship. And I would coach her through that. I didn't realize I was coaching at the time, but that's exactly what I was doing. And when she had issues with her parents, see, this is all relationship coaching. I had no idea I was doing it, but that's what I was doing from a young age. There was a time that my parents needed me to coach them. I remember my mom was going through this period in her life where she decided that she was going to divorce my dad because she wanted to be in a relationship with another woman. And I had to counsel her. I had to coach her. And she often came to me for advice, which is unusual when you're a child. You don't expect your parents to come to you to ask for advice. As a matter of fact, I just had the opportunity to coach her the other day because she is experiencing some stress and anxiety at work. And because of that experience, and because of my training through hypnosis, I was able to go to her and help her to find the resources within her to alleviate that anxiety so that she can go to work and be confident, feeling powerful and fantastic, so that she can actually operate and function in an environment where it has become strenuous for her. I'm going to follow up with her on Thursday, and we're going to find out more about how I can help her through this time in her life. That's what a coach does. A coach is a safe space for you. And what do I mean by that? A safe space, it's where you can be vulnerable. It's where you can problem solve and you can air your grievances and you can find the insights you need to get past the obstacle that you're already facing. A coach does not need to be an expert in your industry. I learned this from Rich Litvin. You don't have to be an expert in somebody's industry because oftentimes people who are outside of your industry are able to see situations a lot clearer than those who are inside your industry. And why is that? Because everybody who's in the industry is speaking the exact same language, they're using the same jargon, and they're seeing everything the exact same way. But an outsider is able to come in and say, hey, you know what? You're doing that wrong. Much like Moses and Jethro. You'll remember that Jethro was Moses' father-in-law. And when Moses had the Israelites in the wilderness, he was judging between them. Everybody would bring them their problems, and he would judge between them night and day, at which point Jethro comes up to him and says, the thing that you're doing is not right. Now, who was Jethro? He was a Midianite priest. So he had nothing to do with the things of Yahweh, the Lord God, but he was astute enough to look at the situation and say, Moses, the thing you're doing is not right. Appoint some elders among your people and let them deal with the small issues and only bother you with the significant issues. And that's brilliant because he was a shepherd. He was an outsider and he brought to Moses' attention what Moses needed to see at that time. And Moses didn't see that because his eyes were not open to it until his father came alongside him and coached him through that process. And so that's what I want to share with you is that you don't always need somebody who's an expert in your field. You can go to a pastor at a church and listen to them, and they can give you insight into what you're doing in your business. And maybe through that insight, you'll be able to do better in your business. And that's what I want to do for you. As a kingdom-minded coach, I want to lead you in the ways of the Lord. What does the Bible say about your situation, and how can we utilize that to succeed in our business? You know, the word work is also translated as worship in the Bible, and that's what I truly believe, is that our work is our worship unto the Lord. So while you're working, everything that you do, you're using your gifts and talents to serve other people. And as you do that is bring glory and honor to God. So when you're in the marketplace, when you're doing your work, it's an act of worship. If we could only shift our mindset to see it that way, if we could see how our work is our worship, how much more would we glorify God in the process? How many more people's lives could we impact for Jesus if we treated our jobs the way we treat our ministries at church. That's going to do it for this episode of Marketplace Ministry. In the next couple episodes, I want to share with you what I'm doing to prepare myself to be a coach. And I do. I want to invite you to interact with me. If you are listening to this podcast, take time out of your day to leave us a review. 5-star reviews would be tremendous for us because that'll help us to get the word out about Marketplace Ministry so that other people can find out about it. Also, send us a message. You can text us at 502-833-6136. I'd love to hear from you there. What are your thoughts on this episode? How did it impact you? What insights did you have from today's episode? But if this episode really ministered to you, do me a favor and share it, because sharing is caring. And when you share it with somebody else, who knows? You know, through my coaching experience with Cliff, if it touched your life and you had a significant insight from it, just imagine how that might impact somebody else that you know. Maybe they're going through a similar situation I did and like you did, and there's something in this episode that will give them the encouragement and uplift them to be able to go out and do everything that God's intended them to do. So do that for me, if you will, and continue to follow us everywhere on the socials, Marketplace Ministry Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and JMSmith8094 on Twitter. And you can find me, Jason Smith, on LinkedIn. And I'd love to connect with you there as well. So until next time, I call you to prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Thanks for listening to Marketplace Ministry. What did God speak to you about during today's show? Join the conversation using hashtag Marketplace Ministry on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Got a question for the show? Email us at info@marketplaceministrypodcast.com or text us at 502-833-6136. Keep seeking God first and serving His people well, and your business will prosper in Jesus' name.
Attention, all kingdom-minded entrepreneurs and ministry leaders. Are you looking to connect with like-minded believers and grow in your walk with Christ? Look no further. The Kingdom-Minded Entrepreneurs Mastermind is here to help you discover your purpose, build your faith, and impact your world for Jesus. With only 10 seats available, this exclusive group meets once a week for 90 minutes to offer hot seats and encourage one another in their journeys. Don't miss out on this opportunity to be part of a community that will support and edify you for an entire year. Sign up now for the Kingdom-Minded Entrepreneurs Mastermind and let's make a difference together. Visit MarketplaceMinistryPodcast.com/mastermind to learn more.